Rashad White, is he a top 10 running back rest of season? Nico Collins, top 10 receiver, easy rest of season? And have the Bills figured something out with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator? All that and more coming up on the Week 14 edition of Stat Nerd Thursday. Let's get into it. It's Thursday, December 7th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Harmon, how's it going? I dealt with COVID last week during this podcast. My daughter took a spill at school on Monday, required 5 stitches inside her mouth. But all is well in the world. My Niners mollywopped the Eagles, so it's all good. It's all good.
My God, Dalton, you need to, what is going on? I mean, congrats to the Niners. That's awesome. But like, man, let's keep the Dalton Del Don's, the whole family, the whole Del Don family in like bubble wrap or something.
I know they say they come in threes, and you know, the survivor loss obviously was the first blow.
Oh, yeah.
But then, yeah, I was podcasting injured last week. And it turned out, yeah, it was full-blown COVID. Not a fun last week, but feeling better right now. And a daughter hopefully will recover. She's most upset about her liquid diet because she likes her sweets. So she's complaining about that. But she's got a busted lip right now. So, yeah, the Del Don family is playing through some injuries.
Well, hey, I appreciate you powering through on the pod last week and jumping back in this week. So we got a lot to get to, buddy. It's Stat Nerd Thursday. You know how it goes here. We give you one stat you need to know for all 32 teams. We go in order of the projected 2024 NFL draft, which even this week, Dalton, I just like started it too. Just erased the prior list and just kept number one, Carolina Panthers. I mean, my God. That being said, this is a fantasy podcast. It's an important fantasy week. So while I'd rather not talk about the Carolina Panthers at all, we at least have to mention Chuba Hubbard, the stat you need to know for the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard in week 13 played 64% of the snaps, handled 73.5% of the team carries, and he ran a route on 17% of the dropbacks. That was behind Miles Sanders at 20%, but it does seem the Panthers in the first game without Frank Reich there, not that this is unusual. Chuba has kind of overtaken Sanders a while ago, but they gave him a ton of work on the ground last week.
Hubbard's been annoying. He takes over the backfield, then he doesn't produce fantasy points. Then Miles Sanders returns. Then suddenly, the last 2 weeks in Tennessee and in Tampa Bay, Hubbard's putting up fantasy stats. So I mean, Tampa Bay had been defending the run well. It's a bad offense that scores about a touchdown a game with Bryce Young. But yeah, if you need him, and if you need a Carolina running back, it's become Hubbard for sure. And he's looked good doing it as well too. He's impressed, and over the last, I think, 3 games, actually, since the play calling switch went back, he's been kind of their featured guy.
Yeah, I mean, man, what an all-time bad contract for Miles Sanders that they gave out and just like immediately are given the role to Chuba Hubbard. It's a pretty tough break. Part of me looking at that was like, I wonder like what numbers would Chuba Hubbard had put up with the Eagles last year in their feature back? Because this seems like no way would he be like that good over the course of the season as to what, or at least that productive as to what Miles Sanders was. But you know what? Maybe he would have been. I don't know. Who knows? Number 2 overall team, New England Patriots. We are skipping them for Thursday night football. Oh my God. Let's like just keep this podcast going so we don't have to talk about Thursday night football, but we will skip the Patriots for now. That brings us to the 3rd overall team here. Arizona Cardinals. This one comes in from Scott Barrett. Trey McBride since week 8, 8.8 targets per game. That is good for wide receiver 8 overall. We're just putting him among wide receivers here, Trey McBride. 28.3% target share. That would be wide receiver 6. 0.29 targets per route run. That would be wide receiver 9. 73 yards per game. That would be wide receiver 14. 2.42 yards per route run. That would be wide receiver 12. You get the message here. Trey McBride, the tight end, has been putting up wide receiver numbers. I'm curious, Dalton. One, I don't think there's a lot of analysis here. Like, he's on his bye week, obviously, so you're not playing Trey McBride this week, but he's a clear-cut tight end one rest of the season. I'm actually curious. I asked this question to Andy on the show earlier this week. Like, from a dynasty perspective, what tight ends would you rather have than Trey McBride right now, just based on his age, second season, and what he's shown with Kyler Murray right now?
I think it's just a battle between him or Laporta with Kincaid. I could see in the argument as well, but I think it's McBride or Laporta in the dynasty for me. Last week, did you see he caught this touchdown, had it overturned?
Oh, I saw.
Very questionable, and then caught a touchdown the very next play that did count. But he's been awesome. The role is terrific. Kyler Murray's definitely struggled as a passer after looking good the first game back. But in that role and Marquise Brown's battling injuries. So, it's McBride or Laporta in a year with a lot of emerging young tight ends. I mean, it's been one of the better years I can remember for the position.
You know, you're right. And it wasn't necessarily the guys that we expected, right, that were drafted there. I mean, Kyle Pitts and Darren Waller and Dallas Goedert. Like, I mean, Goddard's been fine at different times. But my whole thing this offseason was restore the middle class at tight end, right? And I feel like we've gotten a pretty good middle class here. I mean, one, TJ Hockenson is tight end one of the season. He's actually outproduced Travis Kelce this year. Sam Laporta's tight end three. Mark Andrews has dealt with injuries, but he's tight end five. Cole Kmet, I mean, he hasn't been the same level of, like, I think, real life player that some of these other guys are, but Jake Ferguson, Trey McBride, Dalton Schultz has even had moments, but Dalton Kincaid, and obviously what McBride is doing now really, I think, just kind of cements it, that this whole notion that the tight end position, it's not that involved in NFL offenses these days. Well, when you get the right player in the right situation, like a Laporta, like a Kincaid, like a Ferguson, or McBride, these guys can really put up big numbers and be consistent factors.
And Evan Ingram's been a big part of Jacksonville's offense outside of the red zone, of course, and will be even a bigger one now without Kirk. And Joku's getting double-digit targets, Freiermuth if healthy. Even with Kyle Pitts busting and Mark Andrews going down, it's been an encouraging performance by the position. Even Michael Mayer next year could easily emerge. And you include Taysom Hill here, and it's more quality than it's been in the last handful of years.
Tight ends are back. Cancel culture not able to take over the tight end position. We love to see it. All right, fourth overall team here, Washington Commanders. So it comes in from Zach Kruger of Roto World. The Commanders are on a bye, but lost Brian Robinson to an injury versus Miami. The extent of his absence is TBD. But I like what Antonio Gibson has shown this year. Among running backs with 50-plus touches, Gibson is second in yards per touch, 6.2, seventh in yards after contact per attempt at 3.46, and he's 15th in missed tackles forced, 21.7% missed tackle force rate. So let's live in a hypothetical world here. Brian Robinson doesn't play the week after the bye here for the Washington Commanders. Where are you at with Antonio Gibson, who's a guy who's, it feels like he's been in our fantasy lives for a long time, but he's really not that old of a player at all.
I'm good with Gibson in a PPR format. I feel more comfortable because Chris Rodriguez will get his, and there's always the risk of game script. So they come out of the bye in LA facing the Rams. Could be a fine setup for Gibson against the Jets, not so great. And then at home against the 49ers, which could actually be a great setup for Gibson with a ton of dump offs in a game they project to be, double-digit dogs. So yeah, Gibson looked pretty good last week in a really nice setup playing from behind against Miami. So to me, he's just more helpful in PPR because Chris Rodriguez will be there. And this is an offense that throws the ball, the highest pass rate over expectation, and are typically playing from behind with one of the worst. They have the worst defense in the NFL right now, without question. And it's wild that Howell may lead the league in passing yards with McLaurin being a fantasy bust and Dotson and Samuel. That part is just so weird. I guess there's a theory. The more you pass, the wider the tree expands. Maybe not a theory. I guess the numbers back it up. And conversely, the opposite is true. Sometimes these guys who have the league at the bottom of the league in pass attempts, they have the most condensed target tree.
Yeah, you kind of want to be in the middle there if you're just looking for, like, productive Absolutely. Wide receivers. You don't want to be the Falcons or the Jets where it's like, oh, man, I even have a stat about it later, but it's like, wow, look at Garrett Wilson's air yard share, his target share. It's like, well, okay, you don't want that. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be the last year's Falcons, right? A lot of Drake London's target metrics and per route metrics look great, but it's like, yeah, he's not getting the same opportunity that everybody else is. But I do think it shows, I keep coming back to make these comparisons between Baker Mayfield and Sam Howell, but like the Bucs offense right now is a perfect example of, like, they're not super high, but they're not like bottom barrel in terms of pass attempts. And it's really just funneling to like a few players and mostly Mike Evans. Like, that is, if you're looking for one wide receiver to really kind of I don't know, outkick expectations with a bad quarterback. Like, I think Sam Howell, he's a bad starting quarterback. He's a fine quarterback, but he's not a starting quarterback. Baker Mayfield, not a starting quarterback. You want a guy to like really smash in that situation. You want them to be able to, like, you don't want to be bottom barrel in pass attempts, and you want them to kind of be able to dominate targets, which I think is what we're seeing. In at least that Bucs example holds true to me.
Sam Howell last week got it done with two rushing touchdowns for fantasy, but another, you know, not so great on the field performance.
No, definitely not. Actually, you could argue for our number five overall team, this is a good transition here, because I kind of think that DJ Moore is in this perfect situation that we're highlighting here. DJ Moore, last six games, he's actually quietly having a career year, but his last six games with Justin Fields, 54 targets, 43 catches, 716 yards, and six touchdowns. Again, if you just look at DJ Moore's career, he's averaging 83.6 yards per game. That's the best of his career. 75.3 catch rate, best of his career. 10.8 yards per target, best of his career. Success rate, 64.5%, just successful target rate. 64.5%, that's easily the best of his career. And it, you know, the Tyson Bagent era was like, it just wasn't the same level of juice in the offense. Like, we've gotten a guy in Justin Fields who, again, whether the Bears are not going to stick with him most likely long term, but DJ Moore is having a career year with Justin Fields.
Yeah, I use DJ Moore as a conviction pick this week. He's absolutely perfect for the guys we were just talking about as an example of an inflated air yard share. That said, he's also getting it done. I mean, you said it. He's averaging 119 receiving yards and a touchdown over his last six full games with Fields. Tyreek Hill is averaging like 123 yards and a touchdown this season. Like, I mean, he's been Tyreek Hill's historic season with Justin Fields this year. Now, we need weather to cooperate in Chicago this weekend, and that might be an issue. But the Lions are allowing the 10th most fantasy points to wide receivers. They're allowing the second most points per drive over their last six games. The defense is falling apart. They still defend the run a little okay. So I think this is going to be a nice game for both Justin Fields and DJ Moore. You know, I'm going to have a top 10 fantasy wideout this week.
Love that. The Bears, by the way, in terms of neutral pass rate, they're not super high. They're 30th in neutral pass rate. So they don't totally cleanly fit into this like Mike Evans example that we're talking about. But I think a lot of that, again, brings you back to Justin Fields. Like, this is a reminder that next year, one, that if the Bears improve their quarterback position next year, DJ Moore really could get going here. But two, secondly, like, if Justin Fields goes to a new team next year, you know, I keep talking about the Falcons, we'll see if that happens. But like, he can elevate a wide receiver to having like, if this hypothetical wide receiver, like a DJ Moore, has had disaster level quarterback play throughout his career, like, Justin Fields is better than those guys. And I wouldn't use him as a negative in like some wide receiver's fantasy column next year, if that makes sense.
Fields hasn't had a real monster fantasy game since week five, but I think it's coming this week. He had 30 rush attempts combined over his previous two games before the bye. The bye should help that thumb injury. Lions have allowed the fifth most passing TDs. They've struggled against mobile quarterbacks. I think Fields, you know, is the upside to finish as the top fantasy QB this week.
Number six overall team, New York Jets. I mentioned that Garrett Wilson stat. Among players who have run 100 routes this year, Garrett Wilson leads the NFL in air yard share, and he's seventh in target share. But he ranks 60th in yards per route run and 133rd in yards per target. My God, how awful. That's disgusting. We don't even know who's going to start for the Jets at quarterback at this point. It's the time we're taping this. We had to tape it a little bit early this week, so just keep that in mind, people. Especially like another quarterback situation we'll talk about later, but you know, we don't know who's going to start for the Jets at quarterback. I'm really not sure it matters. If you have Garrett Wilson, you have Breece Hall on your fantasy team, Dalton, are you playing them this week?
Yeah, it just depends on alternatives. I've given up as Garrett Wilson being anything better than a top 25 fantasy wideout with these quarterbacks, and now he faces Derek Stingley and Steven Nelson, a couple of promising young corners in Houston. Houston's run defense has played well too. I mean, Breece Hall, you're probably starting because, you know, you don't probably don't have, maybe you have better running backs, but he's a top 20 fantasy back given the alternatives. But I hope you have a better one with Garrett Wilson. I mean, it's just tough. Why did they not sign Joe Flacco? Is it just because Rodgers was friends with Tim Boyle? I mean, I get it. Flacco was just one game, but coming out of the couch and looking like that, it's comical that they wasted a season with a great defense and two of the five best young position, skill position players in prime years in the same season. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Like, if they've really let Rodgers run the show that bad, I mean, I don't even know how you could feel great about this team next year, like, if that's the way they're going to continue to operate. So it's bad, man. Like, all of the worst possible, oh yeah, Rodgers is going to be the one pulling the strings here. Like, that it does seem to be that is the case. Like, if that was the reason they don't bring in Joe Flacco or anybody, you know, above like the Trevor Siemian level, that is, it's pretty disheartening. If you're a Jets fan, I'd be upset about it.
Yep. Super annoying. And yeah, again, you're right. Next year, it looks like they have the same plan, only with, you know, a year older Rodgers coming off a serious injury.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Let's stay in New York here for the number 7 overall team. New York Giants, we do know who's starting for them at quarterback, was just announced. Tommy DeVito, your boy. He's going to get another shot at this thing in week 14. In the two games before the bye, among all quarterbacks, Tommy DeVito was 4th in yards per attempt, 8th in completion percentage, and 2nd in passer rating between MVP bros Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott. So, Dalton, I mean, I couldn't get on board with you with the Tyson Bajan thing when you were excited about Bajan Zero or whatever, but I got to give you some credit on Tommy Cutlets here. Tommy DeVito, he's having a moment here. We'll see if it lasts, but he's having a moment.
Was there any question he was going to be named the starter? Come on now. But now he has to face a surging Packers team. We get the privilege of seeing him in prime time. Interesting double dip Monday night this week. But also my guy, not only DeVito, but Jalen Hyatt. Everyone gets to watch in prime time get open downfield. But Saquon Barkley, I think you believe he's still stuck on one rushing touchdown this year. He's due for some touchdown regression, even in this offense. Conveniently, those DeVito stats they don't include sacks, I'm guessing, when it comes to passer rating. So that's helpful to him because he's on a historic pace of quarterback takedowns. But other than that, he's slinging it downfield better than any Giants quarterback this year.
Better than our guy Danny Dimes, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been able to survive. I don't know what I would do if it was, I'm not going to sit here and do this and waste time on the show, but if I went from just YPA to adjusted net yards per attempt, I'm sure might not be as high. Hey, just those two Monday night games. Look, we live in a technologically blessed society where you can watch two things at once, but let's just say you didn't. Titans, Dolphins, Packers, Giants, which one are you putting on the screen if you could only choose one?
I have quite a few Tyreek Hill in my most important fantasy teams. Probably not coincidentally, those are the teams that have done well this year. But yeah, I'll be interested in that game. Some Tua. So yeah, I'm watching the Titans, Dolphins. You know, over-under is more than 10 points higher there. But you know, Packers playing well and Giants, that's going to be the more competitive game. But yeah, let me watch the greatest show on surf. Miami, 4 of their final 5 games at home this year.
Not bad. Not bad. I think it's going to be a good end of the season for them. I'm all in on the Packers kind of at this point. So that's where I'll be keeping my attention.
All right. Okay.
I did adjusted net yards per attempt and Tommy DeVito is still 9th.
So. Wow. Not bad. Wow. Impressive. Yeah. Packers youngest team in the NFL and now currently in the playoffs if the season ended today. And yeah, I said last week, I liked the points at home on Sunday night, though. I did not think they'd win that game outright. So yeah, the Packers certainly was no fluke, you know, how they looked on Thanksgiving. That team's been going in the right direction for about a month now.
All right. Speaking of those Tennessee Titans who play on Monday night, Titans are number 8 overall team. The last 2 weeks, the Titans are 8th in EPA per rush and 13th in rushing success rate. Sounds like Derrick Henry is going to play here in week 14. I do think Tajay Spears remains one of the best, if not the best, holds in fantasy right now. Look, we were still concerned a little bit about Henry, even after he smashed the Panthers, but he went out and smashed the Colts. So are we feeling better about Derrick Henry as we head into D-Hember here?
Yeah, I was skeptical, but he had 89 yards and 2 touchdowns at halftime, and he really just didn't do anything the second half. Also, obviously, did ultimately left injured, but he could have been involved in an overtime game, could have had a much bigger game. Yeah, he has a second his yards per carry in December is the second highest by any player during any month in NFL history. And one thing I would just note on the situation involving Spears. Obviously, he's a stash in all leagues, but at the beginning of the year, it looked like a favorable fantasy playoffs schedule when they faced Houston 2 times in the 3 weeks, and it's gone the opposite. That's like a bad defense against a run defense. But for what that's worth, either way, you're gonna use Spears if Henry misses games.
Number 9 overall team, the New Orleans Saints. Jameis Winston is averaging 13 air yards per pass attempt. 25% deep throw rate this year, according to fantasy points data. Hey, man. We might get Jameis Winston this week. Derek Carr's in the concussion protocol for the second time. He's got other things going on. So Jameis Winston, if he starts this week against the Panthers, A, is he on the streaming radar? And B, are you giving a boost to some of the other guys out there? Chris Olave, A.T. Perry, whatever.
A boost to Olave, even though he had been putting up points, admittedly, the last few quarters with Carr. But a boost to Olave because Winston will just not care and throw it down there. That said, it should be noted that Carolina is about as stingy as it gets against opposing fantasy QBs. They're essentially tied for the bottom three with the Browns and Ravens. And that's before they got reinforcements back. A couple guys in the secondary, Horn and Chin, are now there. So it's not actually a good matchup. The Panthers get beat on the ground. It might be another touchdown, three rushing touchdowns from Kamara and Taysom Hill. So I like the idea of Winston, but this week's matchup might not meet expectations. And Carr, I don't ever want to question his toughness, but this is his second concussion, right, in the last month or so or of the season. So I would be surprised if he did play this week.
Yeah, I would be surprised as well. All right, number 10 overall team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rashad White has cleared 100 yards from scrimmage in four of his last five games. And the last two, man, like, it hasn't just been, whoa, we're pummeling him with volume. I mean, he's played 87% of the snaps in each of the last two games. He's averaged 5.3 yards per carry, 6.4 yards per reception. Like, again, he has been actually kind of getting it done here. He's a top 10 fantasy back on the season, I believe. So it hasn't been pretty, but not only has he just been able to keep the job and keep producing in fantasy, but I think he's actually kind of sort of starting to play well at this point.
Yeah, it's annoying. I traded him in a dynasty league before the year for some wide receiver help, and he's been I'm locking him in as a top eight back each week, given his workload. Doesn't have to be efficient. So many targets, all the carries at the goal line. I mean, yeah, he may not get a high yards per carry against Atlanta, but I rank him as my running back six this week. So yeah, I mean, the workload is basically top three all year, and he's been healthy and getting it done, even if the yards per carry leaves you wanting more.
Number 11 team, the Las Vegas Raiders, honestly struggled to come up with a stat for the Raiders, but just decided Aiden O'Connell. He ranks 17th in YPA since week 9. That's when he was inserted as the starter after the Josh McDaniels firing. I mean, O'Connell's been fine. I don't know. Just kind of give me a temperature check on the Raiders coming out of their bye.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I saw Devontae Adams like $23 salary in Yahoo DFS. Minnesota kind of a pass funnel. I mean, not that they have a horrible secondary, but they're tough to run against. And Myers benefited from the matchup before the bye. I could see Adams going back to getting, you know, a dozen targets, and I'm probably going to write him up. I mean, that seems like a nice little DFS play at that salary.
I like that call. We'll be interesting to see young quarterback against Brian Flores, who just, you know, blitzes a ton, throws a lot of like interesting coverages mixed with those blitzes on the back end. So that would be, look, I mean, it's not the sexiest matchup in the world, but that's at least something to watch in that game coming up there. All right, number 12, LA Chargers. This one comes in from Tyler Weiss. Austin Eckler, since he returned from injury in week 6, 3 yards per carry, third lowest, 3 fumbles, most in the league, 53 PFF grade, second lowest, 6th lowest rushing grade since then. Also has had 4 drops, which is really uncharacteristic of Eckler. We talked about this obviously on Eckler's Edge this week, just where he's at this point, but I don't know, man. Like, I've had people ask me, is Austin Eckler like a buy rest of season? I told him I don't think he's a top 4 back going forward yesterday on the show. So Dalton, where are we with Austin Eckler? He's got some pretty good spots to end the season, but how are you feeling?
Yeah, recording this a little earlier than usual, so I haven't been able to listen to Eckler's Edge yet, but I always do. I just think the guy's playing injured. His high ankle sprain can ruin seasons. He's tried to fight through it. It is what it is. Yeah, 18 yards on 14 carries last week, opened the second half with the drop. What happened is exactly what you and I feared, man. Belichick did try to stop Keenan Allen and the rest of the offense, you know, outdoors in that environment, and with the banged up Eckler, was helpless. So he'll score. Eckler is due for touchdown regression.
Right.
He's not going to go back to the explosive player we saw in the past. We might even see a little bit more Kelly than we're used to, as we did in the second half last week. But I think Eckler's going to, he could have a 2-touchdown game maybe, you know, soon, and people feel better about it. But I think the touchdowns will return, but we're just not going to see the same explosiveness we're accustomed to, given how compromised that ankle is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be tough just rest of the season for him to play through this and play with everything going on right now. So we shall see.
But Denver could be a get right. Denver's secondary. Yeah. Denver's a run funnel. So that this could be the one where he does score two touchdowns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he's a buy, right? Like, if you could still trade in your league, which most trade deadlines have obviously passed. Mm-hmm. But it does. I think there is a chance at least that he has some good performances down the stretch. But I don't know that I'd be going out trying to trade for him if I could trade or something like that. So next team here, number 13, Buffalo Bills. Since Joe Brady took over, the Bills are averaging 33 points per game. They were averaging 24.6 in the five games prior. I don't know, Dalton. I think, like, whether it was schematically or anything like that, maybe it just was like a jolt that the team needed, a shot in the arm. This offense, I think, has been better since Ken Dorsey left. And, like, I know they were good in, like, a variety of efficiency metrics and stuff like that. But so far, the two games prior to the bye, it looked like positive results to me for the Buffalo Bills and inserting Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, last week's bye week prevented me from bragging about my Gabe Dave call against the Eagles. I think he was a top three fantasy wideout that week. Would have been easily number one if he hauled in that play in overtime. Yeah. I bring that up because I think this is a similar setup this week. Also to brag, of course, but it's a similar setup against Kansas City that's going to score points. I think they're going to bounce back at home and put up points, the Chiefs offense this week. And L'Jarius Sneed could be completely blanketing Diggs. So... Gabe Davis is a guy why everyone, like myself, overdrafted him, is because, you know, they scored those four touchdowns against Kansas City in the playoffs. So I'm not going to go that far, but I do think this could be another Gabe Dave type week. Just again, and then he'll go and put up, you know, goose egg in three of the next four. Don't get me wrong. But if there's another one, it's not a horrible setup for him here. Agree or disagree?
I agree with you. By the way, I saw Mark Stopa note on Twitter that, like, if you wanted to look at actual trends of, like, when to start Gabe Davis in fantasy, you should do, like, when Jim Nance and Tony Romo are on the call. I haven't looked into this in detail, it does seem like, again, because I can hear Jim Nance saying it to Tony Romo on the Eagles game, like, big game Gabe. That's what they call him. They're a big game Gabe. And like, he does seem to always smash when Jim and Tony are there. So maybe this is a moment for
Stopa and Gabe Davis this week. Yes, get him in your lineups. Now, I don't know. It's he's always disappoints when you expect it. You know, like, no one even played him in DFS against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. And he probably too good to be too spot on for our guy who's usually a letdown. But that's a nice little note too for Romo. I could see it.
I will also say too, the player who led the Bills in receiving yards in week 11 and 12 is Khalil Shakir. Ran a route of 72.8% of the dropbacks. Like, this could be a moment for him too. I don't know if you probably have better options in fantasy, but I think about, like, a Khalil Shakir over on a yardage prop or something like that. I like the way Shakir's been playing. All right, number 14 team, Denver Broncos. This one comes from Troy Miller. Russell Wilson is tied with Jalen Hurts with the most time to throw at 2.7 seconds. I think the Russ stuff finally kind of came crashing down. If you look at MVP odds, like, going into last week, Russell Wilson was climbing up way too high in the MVP odds stuff. I mean, come on. Like, on BetMGM, he's plus 20,000 or 20,000 or something. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, come on.
Well, that's crazy. The MVP is obviously locked up there with Purdy. But Wilson, right. I will say that Stingley made two sick interceptions last week. I think he has four in the last 3 weeks. And the verdict is not in on Sauce Gardner over Stingley yet. But frustrating is the guy who hyped Sutton last week was my, I think, in our group piece. That's who I said was going to finish the top five or something fantasy wide last week. His halftime, he sat at zero catches, three targets, but easily led the league in air yards at the time. That's, of course, before Flacco got a hold of Elijah Moore. But that was Sutton's first touchdown outside of the red zone all season, and he scored in 9 of 12 games, mind you. So Russell Wilson, he just throws to his running backs, and he missed Jerry Jeudy. Have you seen Peyton upset of the yards he says that Jeudy left on the field? Just one was just crossing wide open. So yes, Russell Wilson does not belong in MVP conversations. He's playing better than he did last year.
Yeah. Just note on that stat, Russell Wilson, 3.03 time to throw. He's one of five quarterbacks that are over three this year. Justin Fields, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson. Pat Mahomes is up there almost at three seconds time to throw. Just trying to figure something out there. He's doing a lot of scrambling too. All right. Number 15 overall team, Seattle Seahawks. This one comes in from Josh Norris. Geno Smith's time to throw on Thursday night, 2.54 seconds. It paid off. He was at 2.87 seconds the rest of the season. I do love the way Geno played last week. Decisive, getting the ball out. JSN is starting to run some nice little crispy routes there too. It might be too little too late for the Seattle Seahawks playoff push, but can we get that passing game we saw on Thursday night rest of season for Seattle?
Yeah, we kind of buried them in our Thursday night preview, upset. We had hyped their passing offense, and it's failed to live up to our expectations. And they look great in Dallas. Tough environment.
We were emotional. We were definitely emotional. That was an emotional talk there.
Yeah. Bland had been not just the pick sixes. You look at his underlying stats. He'd been great in coverage. And then just Metcalf pantsed him on live TV a few times. He looked awesome. And Seattle, I'll say this, now they have 10 days for preparation. Niners in a letdown spot coming off that big win in Philadelphia. Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet are both banged up, so that might be another Geno Smith, Metcalf, Lockett, and JSN kind of, you know, looking a little better. So yeah, maybe Seattle does put some points on the board here if that was a start of their passing offense finally clicking this year.
I think it's going to be tough to get all three of these guys, the receivers, to hit on a weekly basis. Like, I think somebody will be like Lockett last week, kind of left out in the cold. Like, I went back and watched that game, and it's like, oh, Lockett could have easily had a big game in this one. If Geno hits him on the deep DPI, like, he would have walked into the end zone if he had caught that one pass. Like, but still, I think it's going to kind of be sort of a, you know, and it just depends on where the targets go too. I was sweating an over 4.5 catches Tyler Lockett bet until literally the very end. So I was very tuned into Tyler Lockett on Thursday night. But yeah, we finally got there at the
Mooney Ward versus Metcalf should be fun. About three games ago, Shanahan, this is weird, but supposedly came up to him before the game and is like, "You're guarding," I can't remember the exact example it was 4 games ago. And he's like, "Okay, no problem." He had played 99% on one side of the field before that. This season. Since then, he's been shadowing guys. Last week against AJ Brown was a fun one. I mean, he got beat a couple times, but he totally one-on-one in the end zone, an important play, batted it down. So I would expect Mooney Ward to basically shadow Metcalf in this one.
Interesting. That'll be a fun matchup. We just saw them obviously on Thanksgiving, but this could be a little bit different the second time around. Hopefully it's a little bit more of a fun game. My God. All right. Number 16 team, LA Rams via Jeremy Fowler. The Rams in the last three games with Kyron Williams, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua in the lineup together, 33 points per game, 412.7 yards per game, 3-0 record. Williams and Kupp both missed times at points. Now the Rams are healthy and loaded for a playoff push. Puka might not be 100% healthy, Mr. Fowler. Sean McVay kind of mentioned that. But still, these three guys together, and mostly I think Puka and Williams being on the field together, I think makes a big deal for this offense. They're just doing such fun stuff with Kyron Williams and Puka Nacua right now.
Matthew Stafford, 7 touchdowns over his last two games. He had that many over his previous 6. Cooper Kupp's first touchdown since October 15th. You nailed it last week, talking about Puka is going to be the more valuable fantasy player moving forward than Kupp. The design plays just aren't there for an injured Kupp right now. And Puka, I thought for sure he was out for the game. He looked so badly injured when he left with about 9 minutes left in the second quarter. And then he sat out the rest of that quarter and then returned after halftime and looks like the preferred fantasy receiver over the rest of this season in LA.
Tough matchup in Baltimore. That does make me a little nervous. I'd be trying to find alternatives for Cooper Kupp at this point. Just I don't care about the 8 targets or the touchdown. I would definitely be nervous there.
Baltimore coming off a bye. AFC, they've dominated NFC teams. Yeah, this is a tough matchup for the Rams this week, no doubt.
Number 17 team, Cincinnati Bengals. This is via John Shipley, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence was 5th and 4th in EPA per play and success rate this week. Didn't matter, though, because old Jake Browning was 3rd and 2nd. Dalton, I am kicking myself. On our FFL, our live show Thursday night, we do primetime picks where we draft like wide receiver, tight end, running back from the primetime games. And like I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, Jake Browning wasn't that bad. Like from an individual perspective, I know we're just quick to be like, Jake Browning, whatever. But like, if you look at his passer rating and stuff like that against the Steelers, it was actually pretty good. They just ran 41 damn plays. that's what made me nervous was the defense. I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going Calvin Ridley over Jamar Chase. I'm not even gonna think about Jamar Chase. Like, I'll let friggin' Fitz take Jamar Chase, and I'll just go ahead and be playing, you know, playing Calvin Ridley. I'll be fine. What a frustrating game that was to watch from a Ridley perspective. But man, I mean, Jake Browning played incredible. Real, like, just good quality, no fluky football against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday night.
Yeah, if you looked at his box score from his first start, you would have said not so horrible. I think even his like CPOE was fine. But if you watched, you thought of, oh, two of those tip passes to Chase were like probably turned into 60 yards, and that totally inflated his YPA and whatnot. But now looking back, it's, that was a good against the Steelers. That was against a good defense. And now against that's a fraudulent Jacksonville team. If they would have been the one seed with a win there, that's not a serious one seed. But Donnelly was Browning impressive, but overcoming, you know, the Tyler Boyd interception and clearly going for it on fourth down early in the offense didn't even look like it scaled back at all to me. It was impressive. I try to my theme this year, you know, hyping bad backup quarterbacks. I missed this guy. I did say that they brought up the stat again during the game, but he 91 touchdown passes his last year in high school. That's, dude, I mean, imagine if somebody around your area threw that. You'd just think that guy was going to be a star for sure. But I don't know what to make of it moving forward. It's the biggest takeaway, very encouraging for Jamar Chase. Mixon made me look like a fool saying to fade him last week, and he falls in the end zone twice. But he's going to rely on that the rest of the year, to be sure. But Chase, very encouraging. He's now maybe he is a top 12 fantasy wideout over the rest of the year and not just top 24, I think, is one way I'd reevaluate that this week, another fine matchup. So Browning, super impressive, knocked a bunch of people out of Survivor. The Vegas one, I'm sick to my stomach, dude. It's down to 30 people, implied value of $300,000. And I could have had the Bucks last week in that one. It's, man, because Pittsburgh went down too. But we move on. Go ahead. So yeah, Browning, you're impressive, right?
I thought so, and I thought they got a little too cute sometimes, like the Tyler Boyd stuff. Like, let's just have Jake Browning throw these passes. The Boyd one, oh my God, it was just so crazy. But, you know, they had other wide receiver pass attempts, stuff like that. But I really think, like, he was Zach Taylor called an aggressive game, which sometimes they're not, like, an aggressive team all the time, with Joe Burrow even. So, aggressive game plan, didn't try to, like, hide the backup quarterback. They let him get out there and sling it. And I mean, Jamar Chase is just such a good player.
Too good,
like, almost like just doesn't get enough credit. I really think we had it right this year that, like, this was the year that if Joe Burrow had stayed healthy, Jamar Chase could have just gone completely nuclear. And like you talked about that, like, he was your number one receiver in the offseason. Like, I really think he could have had that kind of year. I mean, even the pass he dropped on, like, a simple kind of play on third down, they go right back to him on fourth down. And he makes a great catch and gets that's the mark of a great player.
Because he was just looking at how many guys I'm going to beat after that. But yes, that was looked like a costly drop. But then a couple plays after that too, when he broke tackles to kill the clock. He's a beast. Yeah, really, really good player. It's going to be fun to rank these fantasy wideouts next year. I mean, Jefferson coming back, Tyreek Hill and Chase. It's going to be CeeDee Lamb, if he continues the targets. I mean, there's going to be some strong arguments for those wide receivers at the top.
You know who else is a beast at the wide receiver position?
AJ Brown.
The guy who plays for
Debo,
our number
Samuel.
Eight. Yes. A lot of good receivers in the league.
Sorry.
Dalton,
sorry.
Let me nail the transition. Right. No, I'm kidding. But number 18 team, Houston Texans, David Lombardi shares this stat. Wide receiver leaders in yards per route run, Brandon Ayuk is at a prime Julio Jones level here. Meanwhile, Tyreek Hill putting up a clip we've never seen before. But if you look at the top five, number one, Tyreek Hill. Number two, Brandon Ayuk. Number three, Nico Collins. Number four, CeeDee Lamb. Number five, Mike Evans. Nico Collins, man, he's just straight up balling. Like, that guy, I think, is a clear-cut top 10 receiver rest of season with C.J. Stroud and no Tank Dell. I mean, there's definitely a chance he could have a slow game here against the Jets when we all get excited. But, man, he has really just been having a no ifs, ands, or buts, like no qualifiers type of breakout season this year.
Yeah, I even tweeted about him last week. What a first quarter. Just absolutely perfect.
You did?
I subtweeted hard hits because he had already got the stats of the first quarter. He had 117 yards receiving, but not only that, Tank Dell went down and Surtain went down. Surtain did return, but that was about as perfect of a setup if you were using him in DFS as you could possibly have. And he, I did not jinx him, actually. It looked like it for a quarter there. I'm like, oh, he's going to be shut down still here, but finished with 190 or whatever. He's absolutely a top 10 fantasy wideout moving forward without Dell, which sucks. Tank Dell was a beast. But over 100, roughly 130 routes, Jacob Gibbs tweeted, without Tank Dell on the field this year, he had Nico Collins a 35% target share, 45% air yardage share. I mean, top 10 is, you know, his floor. Horrible matchup this week against the Jets. But yeah, afterward, I mean, he could be like a top three fantasy wideout.
Yeah, rest of season, the Texans, like you said,
two Titans,
Jets,
we know that.
Two Titans
in the fantasy
game.
Playoffs, pass funnel defense. There you go, banged up secondary. So, oh yeah, Nico could be, I mean, yeah, win your fantasy league in the playoffs.
Even the Browns, week 16, they've started to have a lot of injuries and like showing cracks in that defense. So that is at least another matchup to monitor there. Number 19 team, Atlanta Falcons. Arthur Smith, you got your wish, baby. They come off the bye, and since week 12, the Falcons lead the NFL with 75 rush attempts. Shout out to Arthur Smith. You did it, baby.
Yeah, and that's it. Desmond Ridder finally threw his second touchdown pass on the road all year last year. I don't know. Bijan Robinson, you look at the nerd stats, the utilization, been awesome for 3 weeks in a row. You can trust him. It looks like he's, or can you, with, can you ever trust Arthur Smith? But I think he's turning into the guy we were hoping as far as workload's concerned. So as you said, all these rushes.
Yeah, me too, because like the reason I put this stat in there was, you know, I've been looking at like the rotation the last 3 weeks. It's like CPAT still gets in there, Tyler Algier still gets in there, but Bijan's just touching the ball a lot because I think they're at a point where they're trying to just run the ball and hide their quarterback that they have reinstalled Desmond Ridder there. So yeah, it's just, this is the Falcons this year. They just are what they are.
And they just face a Jets team that's like the highest run rate against in the league by far too. So yeah.
All right, number 20 team, Green Bay Packers. Now, this is really exciting. Since week 10, Jordan Love ranks 5th in passer rating, 6th in adjusted net yards per attempt, 8th in success rate, and 4th in EPA per play. I mean, dude, he's looking good the last month, Jordan Love. Like, I think he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the last month. Can he keep it up? Can he sustain this performance, Dalton? What do we see from the Packers rest of season?
Yeah, it's encouraging. Like I said, the youngest team in the league. Watson looked great before suffering that hamstring injury. You know, we all like Reed and even Wicks. There's depth there. A healthy Aaron Jones would really help this offense because A.J. Dillon is such a downgrade. Running back position does matter for Green Bay. But yeah, it's so encouraging. We all, Jordan Love is like off to a fire start. We're all in. Then I completely was making the jokes, I'm beginning to think it's a downgrade from Aaron Rodgers when he really looked bad for a month stretch there. And now in my face, he's looked great for a month. So this is a team that no tops. I mean, the NFC's loaded, man, with the top seed there, but also this look at, this is the 7th seed. I mean, that's a dangerous even 7th seed too, if they're in the playoffs. So yeah, I mean, their defense is playing better too. So if they get a healthier Jair Alexander would help too. So yeah, you got to be encouraged with Jordan Love.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of potential in the NFC. Eagles, 49ers, Lions, Cowboys, those are like some of the best teams in the league. In no order, Colin, relax. But it's like, okay, the Falcons, the NFC South, whatever, who cares? But yeah, Packers, man, like Rams, if they get in over the Vikings, I think the Rams and the Packers have legit, like with quarterbacks playing at that level, they have a chance to really do something in the playoffs, much more than like the Steelers or the Colts or the Browns or anything like that. I mean, for all of the conventional wisdom, and obviously quarterback injuries, whatever, you know, the Bills having a weird season, you know, the Bengals and Joe Burrow, I get all that, but some unforeseen things here. But for all the conventional wisdom of the AFC was the conference, the AFC is so good. You've had so many disappointments from the AFC. Meanwhile, like a lot of these teams in the NFC are looking great. And the Packers, I do think, belong there. Rest of the season, they're set up extremely well with the way Jordan Love is playing. They sign him to like that contract extension, they've got him under contract. And it's just, again, the schedule: Giants, Bucks, Panthers, Vikings, Bears. Like, they could easily win. They could win 4 of those games, no question.
To be fair, the Houston Texans and or Bills would be a pretty dangerous 7th seed in the AFC too, if those go. We all need them to get into it just for the sake of, it's nothing, no fault to the other teams, but you know, they're all, everyone's, even Jacksonville now, four teams currently in the AFC playoffs are all dealing with their backup quarterbacks, if not third or fourth stringers.
Yeah, man. Like, I agree. We got to manifest the Bills into the playoffs, like somehow, some way. We got to manifest the Bills into the playoffs. All right. Mentioned the Vikings. They're the 21st overall team here. Prior to his injury in week 5 in Yahoo standard scoring, Justin Jefferson averaged 21.7 fantasy points per game in the first month of the season, with his lowest being 19.4. Arguably the best fantasy player not named CMC, Tyreek Hill, is back in our lives this week. We don't know as of when we are taping this who is going to start at quarterback, but of the three guys, Jaren Hall, Nick Mullins, Josh Dobbs, who do you think would actually be best for your boy Nick Mullins? Is he the best one for Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, is he still, what, number 3 in most passing yards ever over the first 16 starts? I don't know enough about Hall. He got injured so early in his one appearance. But I don't know. We're just waiting for news here because O'Connell said that he's going to reevaluate the position through the bye, and we haven't heard anything. It sounded like to me Dobbs he was going to move on from after that one game. But Nick Mullins would be my guess, and it would be my probably preferred option for Jefferson. Dobbs is more fantasy upside because he runs. But if we're talking for Jefferson, probably want a more pocket passer like Mullins for sure. So, and that's where the tea leaves seem to be pointing last we heard the coach, but things could have changed once he settled down, you know, after he was so upset after that performance. So that's the key here. Who starts at quarterback for Minnesota? Yeah.
Typically, if the coach doesn't come out right away after the game and say like, yeah, that's our guy, then the player gets benched.
Yeah.
But over a bye week, maybe things change. Like maybe things change, but yeah, Dobbs hasn't been that good. Like, he's been kind of a disaster. I mean, obviously the Monday night game, but even before that, there was a lot of plays left on the field. And I mean, yeah, I definitely wonder if you're Kevin O'Connell. Like, it's a bit of a double-edged sword there, because like Dobbs brings a lot as a rusher, and that allows you to have a whole different dimension. But is Nick Mullins is going to execute the plays better? I don't know. It's not a fun choice to make if I'm Kevin O'Connell. But having Justin Jefferson back will make things better for the entire offense. All right, 22nd overall team here, Indianapolis Colts. This one comes in from Nick Scripp. Running backs who played 75% of the snaps and totaled 20-plus touches in Week 13. Zach Moss, Kyren Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Rashad White, Tony Pollard, James Conner, Bijan Robinson. Zach Moss played the most snaps, highest percentage of snaps at least, tied with Kyren Williams at 94%, and only Williams touched the ball. Williams and Pollard and Rashad White touched the ball more in terms of guys that played over 75 or 77% of the snaps. So, I mean, Zach Moss, I know it didn't work out in fantasy, but like it was the right play, and you should go right back to him this week.
100%. Yeah, everyone used him in DFS and he busted, but the usage was there. You pointed it out. Number 2 among fantasy backs in fantasy usage. He had 7 carries inside the 10, I believe. This week, the Bengals allowing the second most yards per carry in the league, coming off a short week. So absolutely, I think I ranked Moss as my 5th running back of the week. So yeah, borderline top 5 with that usage, and expect him to bounce back. He's been a good player too. Tennessee's a tough run defense, you know, so I like him to bounce back this week big time. But Bengals are not.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, number 23 overall team, Pittsburgh Steelers, skipping them for Thursday Night Football. Number 24, Cleveland Browns via Jake Trotter. According to Next Gen Stats, Joe Flacco attempted 19 passes over 10 air yards Sunday. That was the most in a game by a Browns quarterback in 5 years.
Wow.
Also led the NFL in air yards last week, did Joe Flacco. I mean, he was out there slinging it, and he was out there slinging it to Elijah Moore. I mean, thank God, bro. I said this today on Twitter, but Elijah Moore makes me feel like a crazy person, because like I'm watching this guy, he's like, he gets open, but then they use him in only these little gadgety ways. They don't throw him downfield, and then friggin' Joe Flacco comes off the couch, you know, picking food out of his gray beard, and he's out there throwing heaters downfield to Elijah Moore. I mean, come on, man, what's going on?
Against a pretty good LA secondary too. I mean, not some scrubs out there. They've limited wide receiver production for the most part. So Elijah Moore, do you know he has one career 100-yard game? And that occurred with Joe Flacco.
With Joe Flacco,
and
yep.
So that was his third most. He was 1 yard this last week from getting his second most yards of his career with Flacco last week. So, I can't see them turning to DTR. I guess that's not out of the question, but I would expect Flacco to start again this week. And Amari Cooper suffered a concussion. Most players have not returned the following week this season. So Elijah Moore is absolutely a fantasy option.
Yeah, buddy, I go back and forth with Brendan. He's a Browns fan, but like he noted that they just moved him right into the X receiver position, Elijah Moore, when Amari Cooper went down. And like, yeah, Elijah Moore's a small guy, but he can handle that X receiver position and he can run those routes. So like, they got to find more ways to just get him.
I know you've liked him as a route runner, and I honestly would rank him number one as far as preseason hype beat writers over the last 2 years. I've fallen for it. I know that. I probably don't want a Zach Wilson attachment. And again, I fell for it multiple years in a row. He's like the most impressive player on practice fields by beat writers. You love the tape. So what's the deal? He looked like a young Antonio Brown, you know, on the field with this ability of his size. Let's get him down the field more. I mean, I think Elijah Moore was part of my Rashad White trade, to be honest, of the dynasty. So let's see a little bit more of this. I mean, obviously it just totally helped with Amari Cooper leaving the game, but man, Moore, I feel like there's more to his game.
Yeah, they call plays like they know their quarterbacks are bad. Except last week, for the first time all season, that's including Deshaun Watson. For the first time all week, they called plays like, all right, we trust.
They just needed
our
an elite quarterback finally to get in there.
Thank God. Thank God they had an elite quarterback in Joe Flacco. All right, number 25 overall team. This one comes in from Denny Carter. You're not going to like this, but since week 8, Taysom Hill has averaged 4.2 more fantasy points per game than Travis Kelce. The people are definitely ready to have Travis Kelce is a declining player discourse, Dalton.
Yeah, and I believe Taylor Swift was even at that last primetime game. What's
taking
the deal?
Taking pictures of the snow and all this stuff.
Yeah, Kelce. Yeah, I mean, at that age, that's what happens. I mean, that's why I'm not drafting him in the first round personally. But last year, he proved me wrong. This year, it appears that the age is finally catching up a bit. He'll probably have another big game over the rest of the season. But yeah, I do not think you should draft Travis Kelce in the top two rounds in fantasy next year, is what I would say. Rashee Rice, on the other hand, still not being used as a full-time player, but he's led Kansas City in targets each of the past two games, ranks top 15 in target rate, top 5 in fantasy points per route run, helps having Mahomes, of course, but I think he is going to become a bigger part of the offense down the stretch. I know he's limited as a route runner and all this, but college ballers, ball knowers say that he's capable of running more route trees. So I don't know. You got to be excited if you got him later than these other receivers that went to him in dynasty drafts, because Rice could be a top 20 fantasy wide receiver over the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a good player. I'm still not sure what his ceiling is, because I do want to see some of that NFL stuff or some of those like downfield stuff going on from an NFL perspective. But I don't know. I just haven't seen it yet. So I'd like to see that at some point. All right. Number 26 team, Jacksonville Jaguars. This one comes in from Adam Levitan. Routes run by the Jaguars wide receivers last night. Note Christian Kirk. I'm not reading that. Left early on 46 quarterback dropbacks. Calvin Ridley ran 44 routes. Zay Jones, 43. Parker Washington, 34. Tim Jones, 5. And obviously, yeah, Christian Kirk, 1. Dude, Parker Washington can play. I really like Parker Washington. He was one of my favorite. Him and like Puka Nacua, the guys that were going to, and obviously we know what Puka was, but like in terms of guys that were going to go on day 3, they were my favorites. I really like Parker Washington. Solid, like great hands at Penn State. Solid route runner. I do think like if you're looking for, and look, obviously, damn, Trevor Lawrence might not play. We don't know what's going to happen with him and the high ankle sprain, the whole thing. But you know, against
still,
the Browns,
I saw an update. He's still walking to the MRI. He's almost there.
Yeah,
we'll get word soon on that. But man, that sucked, dude. Getting from your own friendly fire. That was a brutal one. And Beathard is not great for Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley lost the Kirk competition, but now we got Beathard. So sorry I interrupted you for my silly joke, but what's up with the no cart with the Trevor Lawrence? Seriously.
What is,
is up? I mean,
it's Florida. How many golf courses they have in Florida? They can't get one freaking golf cart out there to take Trevor Lawrence to the locker room. Like he has it looked like he was getting arrested because he's like he's a drunk person or something. The cop carrying him. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Okay. Continue. Go.
Parker Washington, if you're looking for like a deep sleeper, I mean, it's the Browns defense. Like I said, they've been dealing with injuries lately. He's a pretty good player. I like him a lot.
Oh, I was not familiar with him at all, but he looked really good, really impressed there. And yeah, it looks like Kirk's going to be out for a while, but obviously the whole offense deserves a big downgrade with Beathard there. My guy, Etienne, I think he wore down a bit. They drafted Bigsby to take some workload off of him. Didn't work. And Johnson surpassed him on the depth chart there. And now Etienne, struggles in some of those short yardage situations. That the whole offense is going to suffer as a result because of obviously Lawrence going down.
Number 27 overall team, Dallas Cowboys, via ESPN stats and info. Dak Prescott is the ninth quarterback with 20 touchdown passes and two interceptions in a single season. Six game span here. Six of the previous eight to do it won NFL MVP. Man, remember all the discourse we had to have about Dak interceptions last year? That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. 21 touchdowns, two turnovers since six games since Dallas's bye. They've gone far more pass heavy. They're running far more motion. It's been impressive. Dude's getting 8.8 YPA at home, 18 touchdowns, two interceptions. It's going to be a fun matchup Sunday night. Eagles are 3.5-point dogs. Seems like a bit much to me there. But yeah, Prescott's going to blow up again. I ranked him as my number one fantasy QB this week. Expect another 330 passing yards, three touchdowns. Good luck guarding CeeDee Lamb with that second. You know, they're allowing the most fantasy points in the league to opposing quarterbacks and wide receivers, the Eagles. So yeah, this should be a fun one, man.
Producer Colin is predicting a 34-17 Cowboys win. When has it ever been not a good time to get on the Cowboys when they're riding high? When has that ever gone wrong before? So no, I think Dak is playing incredible football, like getting to the right read every time, making great decisions. And they presented him with a ton of options too. Like, I think Brandon Cooks is a guy you should try to get in your lineup this week. He's been super productive of late. He obviously is going against a secondary that's been beatable, like the way they're using him, you know, with some of the, the ways they're using CeeDee Lamb outside. He's been able to run slot routes and stuff. So it's all looking up for Brandon Cooks and for the entire Cowboys offense. Number 28 overall team. This one comes in from Michael F. Florio of the NFL Network. Not that Mike Florio. Sam Laporta had nine catches, 140 yards and a touchdown this week against the Saints. That's the most receiving yards by a rookie tight end in Lions history. It's the second rookie tight end ever with 140 yards and a touchdown in a game. Pete Mitchell in 1995 did it. Don't know who that is. Travis Kelce's the only other tight end with 140 plus yards and a touchdown. And Sam Laporta is tied for the league lead amongst tight ends in terms of touchdowns. Sam Laporta, total baller.
Yes, he is. Yeah, we play in the same fantasy league as this Michael Florio together, the injury-prone one. Laporta, it's nice to see 17 targets over the last 2 weeks because he actually had seen a dip in workload with both Montgomery and Gibbs back, and there was some minor concern there, but yeah, it's been put to rest. The argument between, I think he's the number one dynasty tight end. I wanted to circle back real quickly to Trey McBride. I wanted to give props to Sean Siegel. In hindsight, McBride was just such an obvious stash here if you had deeper benches. Guy had a pretty good pedigree as a second rounder. Zach Ertz was old and coming off knee surgery. There's no one else there. Siegel hyped McBride. And yeah, I mean, it's wild that he's become undrafted in all leagues to now we're arguing, you know, is he the number one dynasty property at the position?
And he was unlike a Sam Laporta or unlike a Dalton Kincaid, because we saw McBride a little bit as a rookie and it was like, not doing it for me.
It was like one game he flashed a little bit. It was really bad yards per target and it wasn't anything special. And he wasn't a first rounder, I believe, but I think early second, and he was productive in college. People did like him, but
I think he won the Mackey, right?
Yeah, he was a Mackey Award winner. Yes, exactly. Well, burying the lead there, Harmon. Yes. So yeah, but that just trying to get a little bit off Andy Behrens' guy, Laporta, who Behrens deserves obviously a ton of credit to telling everyone to draft Laporta. And he's just been one of the answers, you know, in fantasy football this year.
Yeah, well, that's what Andy gets to make that call. He gets to get the props for suffering through Iowa.
Do you know that Andy, even when it's my conviction week pick, you know, we do our six players each week, you know, that even when Andy has an off week, he jumps in and adds a Laporta for the people when it's not even his turn. He's like, he just adds a seventh conviction because I didn't do Laporta, the audacity of me to not include
Laporta. What a guy. Yeah. He's definitely, you're right. He's doing that for the people, not for himself. Yeah, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, Sam Laporta rocks. Mike Florio, very good as well. Michael Florio is okay. good dude. All right, number 29 team, San Francisco 49ers. This one comes in from KP Show. He's another great dude out there as well, Kyle Posey. 49ers are 16-0 when Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, and Deebo Samuel finish the game. They've outscored their opponents 529 to 239. 12 of those 16 wins have been by 13 plus points. If what you're watching feels like something you haven't seen before, it's because you haven't. Great way to say that by KP there, man. This offense, it is unlike something we've seen before in the NFL.
Oh, man, my guy Brock Purdy, most yards per pass attempt in a single season since 2000. Kurt Warner, 9.9. Purdy, 9.6. That's the second most. Best ever quarterback seasons by adjusted yards per attempt. Aaron Rodgers in 2011, Manning in 2004. Brock Purdy this year, and 48% of Brock Purdy's passing yards this season are coming from yards after the catch. That's less than each of the past three MVP winners. Purdy's passer rating last game in Philadelphia, you know, not a hostile environment at all. I don't see all the video of the Niners fans getting pelted with the snowballs during the championship game.
Yeah,
or was that the, I think that was a championship game when I assumed it wasn't during the blowout loss. But anyway, Purdy posted a passer rating higher than Jalen Hurts has ever posted in a game during his NFL career. But let's not consider this guy. You know, honestly, MVP talk is a little bit silly in the NFL. Baseball, it's a series of one-on-one events. Doesn't matter if your team is a winning record or not. It's very simple, and I treat MVP as the best. I'm not trying to convolute like, oh, if you replace this, though. It's very simple in baseball to see who the best player was that you're, or usually, actually, some mild, you know, Mookie Betts pretty good this year. But football, there's more context, teammates. I get it that he's playing in a system with awesome players and the best, you know, play designer and all that. But Purdy, he can throw the ball downfield. What he's doing against the blitz and showing more arm strength and whatnot, I it's hard not to be impressed. And the last year's winners, historically, EPA, especially if he gets that one seed, he should be right there in the MVP talk. And oh, I mean, I'm not saying this because I got him at 45-1 before the year, but it would not hurt if he did win. I wouldn't complain.
No, I'm pro Purdy. I do think it's just tough to have him as the, if you're taking the V literally, just because of how valuable Christian McCaffrey is, right? Like, and all these guys, I get it, but pretty simple, like, best quarterback from the best team, or quarterback from the best team usually wins MVP. Like, they could easily be the best team. Like, yeah, man, I think that we're in a great, we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot with Brock Purdy. I'm pro Purdy, man. You don't have to convince me. I'm pro Purdy.
I like the Tyreek Hill argument too. This year is pretty yeah. ridiculous what he's doing if they finish the one seed too.
All right, number 30 team, Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens running back snaps in week 12 prior to their bye. Keaton Mitchell, 32 snaps, 11 opportunities. Justice Hill, 20 snaps, 6 opportunities. Gus Edwards, 18 snaps, 9 opportunities. How do you think this running back rotation is going to go coming out of the bye?
That said, regardless if you think you should win or not, I need Collins Cowboys to win because it's crucial to get that one seed as far for the narrative. Mitchell, I want to hype him here. How high can I rank him here if they are going to come out of that rookie bump bye and already was looking like the feature back there? 7-point favorites against the Rams. What's Lamar Jackson's career against NFC like 30-1 or something? How high is too high to play Mitchell or play him in DFS tournaments for sure? I like him. I like him quite a bit. He has a ton of upside. I mean, I know you and a lot of people don't like the word league winner, so I'm going to turn it and say I love the term. I love it. He's going to be a fantasy league winner in the playoffs.
Full heel turn from Dalton here on league winner. We love it. Yeah, all right, fine. He's going to be a league winner. Congratulations. Maybe he'll be a league winner, but he fits the prototypical profile. Of a league winner, if you want to put it that way, with Keaton Mitchell.
Another league winner is your guy, Zay Flowers. Sorry, without Mark Andrews and the play, he's going to start getting more ball downfield, and I think he's going to be really, really, really helpful for your fantasy team in the most important weeks.
I'm with you. I think he needs to get more downfield targets. That would certainly help. All right, number 31 overall team, Miami Dolphins. Dolphins running backs in the first half last week. Raheem Mostert, 19 snaps, 9 carries, 1 target. Devon Achane, 12 snaps, 3 carries, 2 targets. Scott pointed this out on the recap show that, like, there wasn't a lot of Achane in the first half for the Miami Dolphins. But does that move you at all in terms of playing him this week and going forward in the fantasy playoffs?
No, I hate mind reading. I don't know if it means that they're say. I don't know which way it means. I expect him to get roughly half the carries, and he's been the best fantasy player in the world when on the field this year. I guess his teammate Hill points are pretty up there too. But Achane's 2024 ADP is fascinating to me. You could tell me he goes anywhere from first off the board to the fourth round. I'd believe it. I don't know, but he's it's wild with Mostert's age. I mean, if he has a backfield to himself, I know his body can't expect more than 300 touches, but whatever. I mean, Pollard was a top three back with 260 touches. Where's Achane going to be drafted in fantasy leagues in 2024?
That's a great question. I feel like he's going to easily be like a second, third round pick. I mean, second round pick, most likely, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair, because we named all those stud receivers. Yeah, I think he's right there. A wild card in the second round could go anywhere from the top of the second to, you know, the middle of the third, depending on your league's risk, you know, variability.
All right, 32nd overall team here, the Eagles. This one comes in from Shane Huff of Bleeding Green Nation. Since week 5, the Eagles have an early down rushing success rate of 32.4%, which ranks 27th in the NFL. The run game has been downright bad this season. Its efficiency numbers are actually saved by the tush push, but the run game has been bad for months. This has been reflected, I think it's one of the biggest issues for the offense, and it's kind of been reflected in DeAndre Swift's like fantasy output. You know, he got banged up last week, but he hasn't exactly had like these monster games like we thought we were going to get after that week two performance against the Vikings on Monday Night Football, whatever.
Sounds
but
right.
Like, yeah, this run game has just not been the same. And the offensive line is still there. Jalen Hurts is still there. But yeah, just it hasn't clicked of late.
And our guy Penny behind Boston Scott, all the hype you had of the preseason, it's a down bad there, Penny Bros. The Swift, you're right. Swift run game has been an issue for a while now. He looks banged up. That was a hard hit at the end of that game, unnecessary. That said, producer Colin may want to put earmuffs on now because I'm going to hype A.J. Brown here. He's averaged just 56 yards over the last 4 games after becoming the first receiver to top 125 in 6 straight. But man, the Cowboys secondary is a little bit leaky lately, but Brown ranks top 5 in fantasy points per route run and sees his target rate shoot to like 35% against man coverage, which Dallas uses at a top 3 rate.
Yeah.
His also splits are the opposite of Devonta Smith with Dallas Goedert on off the field. And even the coach came out and said he's seen more double teams without Goddard. Goddard says he's 85-90% now. He's going to play. So, oh, man. I know Bland's going to bounce back. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's some guy to target now. But obviously, with a Diggs-less secondary in Dallas there, and a lot of points going to be scored by Dallas on offense, I think Brown's going to bounce back with a monster game. It's a tough one ranking these receivers, Tyreek Hill versus CeeDee Lamb or A.J. Brown this week. I mean, they're all going to go off.
Yeah, I think A.J. Brown's in line for a monster game. That's a really good call. I think he was good against the 49ers, but you're right. They shut him down a little bit over the top. This is exactly the type of matchup with Goddard back potentially where we could really
indoors,
see the best. I'm really excited about that Sunday Night Football game. I think we're going to get a treat between those two teams. And I'm not nearly as excited about or as confident as Colin is about the Cowboys just smashing here because I think that A.J. Brown matchup is really critical to watch. But the run game, again, I will just mention it, man. The run game for the Eagles, like that's got to get better at some point here. If they're going to make some hay in the playoffs. But all right, we've wasted or we've spared ourselves long enough. We've spent enough time here. We got to talk Thursday Night Football, Dalton. I mean, it's a historic. What is the over under now at this point? It's been sinking, but it's a historically low over under between the New England Patriots going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. I mean, I said it earlier this week on the pod, I'm not watching this game. I'm going to watch the film of this game. I'm going to chart routes from this game later on. I will know what happens in this game. I'm going to do something else on Thursday Night Football. And I encourage all of you out there to do that as well. Dalton, you have kids, okay? You have a sick child at home. You know, you're just coming off an illness yourself. Spend some time with your family, buddy. Don't watch this Thursday Night Football game.
Yeah, I don't got much for you to counter there. The over-under is at 30 as we record this. I believe it's the third lowest since the 80s. That's pretty brutal. We got Trubisky versus Zappi, presumably. No, even Stevenson. DFS, he was on pace for a monster game last week. 40 yards through 10 minutes, but looks like a high ankle sprain. So going to get Ezekiel Elliott a ton of touches, probably the team's lone touchdown. The only hype I will kind of give if you're in like a super deep league or playing Thursday DFS is Devontae Parker. I know he can't separate. I get it. But he was a 1 inch away from over 100 yards last week, bro. He had 65 and that 40 yard play in which he was deep, should have been defensive pass interference. And they could have even up winning that game or maybe even covered, kicked a field goal there to cover. But, yeah, I get it. They were shut
against
out
against Joey Porter. Against I don't know, Chargers, man. Joey Porter has been great. I know.
You think they're going to allocate his service is shadow Parker? I mean, maybe, I guess, maybe. Thornton downfield. But all right, fine. You're right. Porter has been awesome. Arguably the league's best shadow corner. And yeah, no one's going to score points in this game. Warren and Harris will split touches in Pittsburgh's backfield. What are you going to do? This is one of the worst primetime ones. And they'll make up for it for that Sunday night, you know, awesome one with Dallas and Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, DeMario Douglas is not even practicing still. Like, I mean, that guy is good, and he's not even going to be involved in this proceeding, most likely. Steelers dead last in rushing EPA last week. That's your Steelers stat, which is a shame because they had a
great spot. At home against Arizona.
Did you see it? I don't know if you saw the clip of it, but like Deontay Johnson even said in a locker room interview, like, yeah, we kind of looked past them. Like, we just weren't really taking it seriously. And I'm like, yo, dude, Mike Tomlin is the weirdest coach in the NFL.
It's a Tomlin special, right?
Yeah, which is like pathetic at this point. Tomlin has been coaching this team that long, and like, I don't know, man. It's weird. There's a bit of a disconnect between like Steelers fans seem to hate Mike Tomlin right now because like they haven't done anything other than like, oh, they have a winning record. And like then people in the national be like, wow, Mike Tomlin got this ragtag group to a winning record. It's like, well, whoop-de-doo, congratulations. I'm starting to get to a point where I'm like, yo, bro, like you have this loss all the time, this type of loss. That's pretty troubling. I think Tomlin's a great coach, but like we can't be having one of your best players in Deontay Johnson saying it like, yeah, we were just kind of looking past him. That's a bad look. I hate to be the bad look police, but that's a bad look.
Yeah, Tomlin, they're tough as dogs, but then they seem to lay down in one of these favored games each year. I mean, they managed 10 points, 317 yards after the Canada. Well, he finally got 400, but at home against Arizona, putting up 10 points. Not only that, you know that McBride touchdown capped off a 99-yard drive by the Cardinals? I mean, this is the Cardinals going in Pittsburgh on the road. I mean, there were two weather delays. I mean, that contributed some, but yeah, that was a bad goose egg for Pittsburgh. They'll show up here. They'll bounce back, you know, the more we talk about this, I think. And in New England, I can't imagine laying 6 points with anyone in a spread this low with New England's offense, but if it's any offense, man, it's this New England one that didn't even threaten to score a point against the Chargers last week. That was not good football.
Steelers minus six under and the under. I mean that's the bet of the game there. Last stat here from the Patriots. This one again from Michael Florio of the NFL Network. Ezekiel Elliott in week 13 with Ramondre Stevenson leaving early on. 71% of the snaps, 17 carries, 18 routes, 5 targets, 4 catches, 92 yards. And 13 PPR points. Dalton, I asked Andy earlier this week, how high are you ranking Ezekiel Elliott and how much do you hate yourself for it?
Yeah, it's top 30 back. It's ugly, but his ECR is running back 26 right now. And it just makes sense given the volume. And once you get past those top 25, there are backups. So yeah, it's gross. But if you need him, he's there for a top 30 type option given the volume.
All right, that's it. That's Thursday Night Football. What a game.
Good times. Yeah, good times. But there are some other good matchups, man. Bills, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles. Let's go. Good times. Come on, Colin. Get that win, Cowboys.
It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. I can at least see some good performances from the receivers on Pittsburgh's side against that man coverage of the Patriots, starting us off good this week, and hopefully we actually get some good games the rest of week 14. That is going to do it for this episode. Tomorrow, we preview week 14 in full with our viewer's guide, and Sal Vitri makes his maiden voyage on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. He's going to join me for that. Until then, we're out.